Move forward, please. Do we all have our bulletin? Let's settle down for Sunday school. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we appreciate you. We give you glory. We give you praise once again for making it possible for us to be here this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, we have come into your presence, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you fill us with your word in Jesus' name. Let the Holy Spirit, which is the great teacher, teach each and every one of us from above, O Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask for grace so that we'll be able to do what the word says and not hearer nor teacher alone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, because none of this word will stand against us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Since a few weeks back, we've been talking about hearing from God, and we've seen example of people who God has spoken to, and we discussed that the problem is not hearing alone, that we should, convert the habit of hearing from him and do what it says. We have to desire to hear from God. We've heard that people came to give example of instances where God has actually spoken to them, and they do what he says, and immediately God proved himself. And we learn from the attitude of Samuel, and I share with us that God is still talking to people. I shared last week about how God to somebody where they should be, what he wants to be done in his house. And I can assure you, if we desire God to speak to us, God is still speaking to people. And I pray that he will continue to speak to us in Jesus' name. So today we are going to be looking at the church of God. So we're going to be looking at the church of God. And our text is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 13 to 18. Acts of the Apostle, talking about the church of God. Out of the Apostle 15, 13 to 18. If you are there before me, I want all of us to open it.
About the time God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for himself. And this conversion of Gentiles is exactly what the prophet predicted, as it is written, "Afterwards I will return and restore the fallen house of David. I will rebuild its ruins and restore it, so that the rest of humanity might seek the Lord, including the Gentiles. All those I have called to be mine, the Lord has spoken. He who has made this thing known so long ago."
Praise the Lord. The summary of where our sister has read is just telling us that the church of God is for both Gentiles and Jews. You know, that the church is for everybody. That is basically what it says. If you look at the last verse, it says, "Known to God from eternity, all are his work." You know, everybody, he created us, and so he died for each and every one of us. So the church, basically what is the summary of the where she has read, is telling us that the church of God is for everyone, both Gentiles and Jews, and it's still happening now, that the church of God is for everyone. That's why the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It didn't say, it's either you are a Jew, they say whosoever. So it's telling us that basically the church is for everyone. Let's quickly look at our memory verse. That is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It's a very popular one that we all know is on our bulletin. Can we go together? Our memory verse: "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That is Matthew 16:18. That is the word of God for us. Say, the church of God is not build his church. You know, if you look at where we read, they say, upon this rock, Jesus is going to build his church. The rock is Jesus Christ. You know, if you can see, the Peter's name was mentioned there. It's referring to Peter as the leader of the church in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. So that is how, that is why the church of God is not built on anything. It is built on Jesus Christ, which is the rock, because he came. He saved us, and he, you know, that is the, he came to reconcile us to the kingdom of his, you know, eternity. So that is why he's building the church, which the rock, which is Jesus Christ. That is what the church is built on. And Peter, being referred to here, is the leader of the church in Jerusalem. So say, I will build my church, you know. So that's why, you know, I remember the pastor was saying it sometimes ago that, you know, sometimes he, before, he used to worry about the church that he would be dead. Now, he said, he came to a stage that he just look at it, he said, this is not anybody's church. That he said, the Bible said, I will build my church. So that we should not worry about the church, that the church is not the church of anybody, that God himself has promised that he's going to build his church, that the gate of hell shall not prevail against it, that will not prevail against the churches in Jesus' name. So let's quickly look at the introduction here. It says, the church, you know, what is the church? Who can answer it from the congregation? What is the church? What is the church of God? Anybody? This is Sunday school. The body of Christ, yes. Another one.
It's a place where we worship God.
Yes. The church. It's a place where we worship God. Praise the Lord. The body of Christ.
We are the church.
Thank you. Yeah. We are the church. The church is not the building itself. We are the church. That is why the Bible says that we are the epistle. People read. We are the church. The Christian, the believers, we are the church. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly look through our introduction. It says, the church is an institution ordained by God. No wonder God often compares the church with marriage, another institution ordained by him. He holds the same passion and love for both institutions. You know, that is, the church is the people of God, the believers. You know, that's why, you know, each time the Bible is talking about church, it's always comparing the church and marriage, because those are the two institutions that he holds, you know, he loved, and he has love and passion on those institutions. He compared them. Even as I'm the head of the church, that the husband is head of the, you know, of the home. It's very important that we know, you know, that the church is not the building itself. It is the people. We are the church. And God will help us in Jesus' name. You see, as we know, church means ecclesia, that is call out of, that is call, the, that is the call out of, the call out people, you know. We are the one that God has called, you know. He has called us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has called us out of darkness, you know. That is why we are called the church. We are the call out from where? Where has God called out from? Where have we been called out from? From where? Call out from where? From darkness to the kingdom of the dear son. We have been called from the world. That's why the Bible is always saying that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We have been called out. You know, as we go on, we see where God has called out from. We all know where we were, you know, when God picked us up. You know, we all know who we are before, until we met Christ. So we are the call out one. We have been called. We have been separated. You know, he has called us, and he has separated us for the good work ahead. You know, today, the church is working hard to reintegrate itself to where it was called out from. Well, we have to be very careful of this, you know. That is why it's very important, as the call out one, to stand. Because if we don't stand well and know what the word of God says, you know, is the word is working hard to take us back to the word where God has taken us from. So that is why we have to be careful, especially those of us that we, the end time Christian, you know, there are a lot of distraction, there are a lot of false doctrine around, you know, that we need to be very careful. That is why we have to separate ourselves. We are out of our busy schedule. We have to separate time to read the word of God. We have to separate time so that God will speak to us, you know. We have to have our quiet time regularly, because the world, you know what the devil has come to do? He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's working very hard to take us back again, and he will not be able to take us in Jesus' name. You see, we also know that the people are not the building and not the building is the church, just like I've said before. So is the people of God in the church that are called out for separation, just like we have said before, that, you know, the church is not the building. We are the people. We are the Christian, the believers. Let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter. Second Corinthians 6:14-18.
How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people.
Praise the Lord. See? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, and separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my son and my daughter, says the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. You know, he said that we have been separated, you know. He said that we should not be, you know, be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That is why we said earlier on, Apostle Paul is urging believers now not to form, you know, binding relationship with non-believer. Why? Because it is very easy, you know. You know, we should avoid this because it will weaken our faith. That is what Apostle Paul is saying, that Christians should set a standard to avoid relationship that will cause divided loyalty, you know. It's because divided loyalty between us and God, and because God has separated us, we make efforts, you know, not to separate ourselves from unbelievers, you know. We should not, because one thing that we can do is just to make efforts to bring them into the kingdom of God, and we have to be very careful in doing that. We have to live a separate life, you know. We have to separate ourselves from them because it will cause divided loyalty. We'll be able, you know, we'll not be able to focus, and we need focus in the race of our Christianity. We need to be focused. We should not lose focus. Once, you know, we form an alliance with an unbeliever, our thinking are not the same. You know, there are some values that we have. We have our Christian standard that we hold on to. But once we form alliance with them, you know, there will be divided loyalty. You know, what we believe is not what he believes. You know, there are some things that the unbeliever will want to do, and you don't want to do it. But if you form any friendship or alliance with them, you know, sometimes, you know, when you are in your weak, you know, when we are in your weak state, you know, he might be able to draw you. So that is why it's very important that we separate ourselves, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at 1 Corinthians again, 5:8-13. Still talking about being separated.
But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, I wrote to you in the epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with or externals or idolaters. Since then, you will need to go out of the world. But now I have written to not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or reveler or drunkard or an external, nor even to eat with such a person. For what I have to what? Do with the judging, those also who are outside. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves.
He's trying to say here is that, you know, we should not disassociate with the unbeliever. We know we have to bring them to salvation. But he's saying that we have to run away from somebody who is a brother and is still giving on into those things that we have read in verse 10. You know, if somebody is the believer in the church, somebody who is a brother, is still fine, you know, doing certain things, sexual, you know, covetousness, idolatry, all these things. Say we should not even be associated with them at all. That we are to distance ourselves from those people, that because we have to judge the people in the church. You know, if somebody called him or herself a brother and is doing all those things, and we know, you know, we have to distance ourselves from the person. That is what Apostle Paul is saying here. Because, you know, some Christian, you know, it's talking about, you know, sin. You know, sin is like yeast. You know, if we start to condo it, you know, it will expand and it will be everywhere. So that is why it's very important that we distance ourselves from any believer. Talking about God has called out and God has, you know, we have been separated for the good work ahead. The same thing is still talking about the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Talking about God has called us, we have been separated for God's use. 1 Peter 2 9.
People, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Praise the Lord. You know, it says here we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know, we are united with Christ as a body, joined his priesthood work. You know, that is why we are royal people here. We have joined his priesthood work on earth to reconcile men and God together. We have been called to represent him to others. You know, we have been called to represent Christ on earth here. So that is our duty. You know, we have been called, we have been separated. You know, remember that our value does not come from, you know, from who we are. It's what our value comes from who God says we are. You know, he said we have been called to represent him. And I pray that God will really represent him in Jesus' name. That we represent him in the positive way in Jesus' name. That's why we have to be careful, because he has called us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. You know, we says we are the light of the world. You know, we read there, it says in the book of Matthew, it says, have you seen anybody who will light a candle and then go and hide it? No. It's normally placed in a place where everybody will see. That is what God has called us to do. That we have been separated. We have been set aside for God's work. And the devil knows. That's why he's trying, you know. That's why he's always struggling. And I pray that we overcome him in Jesus' name. The truly called out people are those one who have a different way of living. That is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's quickly go there. You know, our way of life is different from those who are still in the world, because we have been called out. Romans 12, 2.
New person, by changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Praise the Lord. See, we as a believer, we have been called out, you know. We have been called not to be conformed to this world, you know, by our behavior, you know, the behavior of the people in the world, you know, the reveling spirit, party spirit, all those things, that we should not be conformed to them, that we should be transformed by renewing our mind. You know, the transformation comes from the heart. And where can we be transformed? By hearing the word of God, by reading it, meditating upon, and do what it says. Coming together like this, we hear the word of God, then it will renew our mind. It will transform us so that we not be conformed to the things of the world. You know, it's very important for us as a Christian to daily guide. That's why the Bible says we should guide our heart jealously. You know, it's very important. The company we keep, you know, where we go, what we say, you know. If we keep company with those people who, you know, talk carelessly, who make a jest of the thing of God, you know. When you even say something about God, the way they will react. So we have to be careful. So that is why it's very important to renew our mind. That is, we should be committed to the things of the kingdom, you know. That is being renewed. That is a renewed mind. A renewed mind we see, you know, will be committed to the progress, you know, of the things of the kingdom. A renewed mind will not be the person as a Christian, somebody who has been purchased with a price, will not be the person to be criticizing, complaining about people. I used to tell people, you know, last week when the Bible said in our household, the Bible said that we should be holy. even as Christ, Jesus Christ is holy, our perfect example. Then I said to them, I said, they were looking at it, and they were asking me that the people of the Old Testament, their sin is much more bigger than those of us that in this generation. I said to them, I said, it's the same place, it's the same thing. I told them, I said, don't go into the contradicting part of the just listen and do what the word says. When the Bible says that we should be holy, there's no argument, we can do it, you know. Say we should be perfect. You know, we can do it. If we cannot do it, God will not ask us to do it. So it's very important for us, you know, just like the word of God says, we should guide our hearts, you know, our mind jealously. We should know the type of places we go, what we say, and the company we keep, you know. We have to be committed to the things of God, and God will help us in Jesus' name. In doing that, will help us to renew our, you know, it's a regenerated mind. It's a renewed mind, you know, that we hear the word of God and not doubt it. It's a renewed mind that we hear the word of God and we not say something negative to it. No, it's a renewed mind that when they said we are going to do project for God, I remember I was used to share with people. I remember when the women, they wanted to decorate the church, and they said they are going to do this, make this curtain for the church, and we said to ourselves that everyone is going to contribute $400. And we put a clause and say anybody who cannot genuinely know that they don't have $400, that whatever they have, that they should bring. And I remember at the end of the service, somebody came to me and said, don't you think that $400 is too much? I look at her, I say, repent immediately. I say, how can you say $400 is too much for God? I say, don't be the person that anytime they ask somebody to do something for God, that you complain. I say, the only complaint you need to do is to go home. If you don't have, ask God to provide for you. And you should not be the one to be complaining that they want to do something for God. You know, immediately we prayed. I prayed with her because I know that he's, you know, a renewed mind will not say such a thing. I said to her, I say, who are you? That $400 is nothing to you. I just look at her. I say, as I'm looking at you, and I say, what you are wearing is more than 1,000. She said yes. I said, then why will you say 400? I said, don't discourage people. If we've put a clause that genuinely, if you don't want to do, or if you don't have, don't do, but don't come out. And I told her, I said, anytime they want to do something for God, don't be the one to be coming and say, this is too much. I said, if God decide to fight, because nobody knows when God will fight. If God decide to fight, can you stand? Then we pray together. And I told her, I shared my own testimony, my story with her. I told her how, back in our church in Nigeria, how we asked to contribute money. I didn't even say my own. In my mind, I just look at it, I say, where will I get this money? That can't they see A, B, C, all those people, they are rich. They should be the one to do it. I told her what happened to me, and I prayed with her, and I believe God has helped her in Jesus' name. So we should, if our mind is renewed, we'll not be the one to be bringing the kingdom of God down. We'll be the one to see to the goodness of the kingdom of God. And that will be our Lord in Jesus' name. So we quickly go to the next paragraph. Say the Bible makes references to both universal church of God in book of Matthew 16:18 and the local church. You know, there's a universal church. That is the one we read, you know. That is our memory verse, the book of Matthew 16:18 and the local church. So we quickly look at the local church. That is Matthew 18. Let's quickly look at Matthew 18:15-17.
You have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two brothers along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is teaching on how to treat a believer, you know, who sins against us. You know, we know the principle, you know. if somebody has any, it's talking about the local church now. We know there's two, the universal church, which is the church of, which is church of God Himself, and the local church is where we get equipped, where we get furnished, where we get guidance. This is the example of a local church. Jesus is telling us how to treat somebody who has done something against us, that we should go to the person, let's look at the principle, that we should go to the person directly. We should not turn it to a gossip. If somebody, just go to the person directly and ask directly, this is what you know. And if the person refuses again, then we should tell it to the church. But even if he refuses, then let it, if you go again, take witness. When anything happens, it should not be turned in the local church, it should not be turned to a gossip. We should be able to address it. And sometimes, it's hard, but we have to ask for grace. Once you don't believe in something or somebody has done something wrong to you, the best person to know first is the person. It's not to tell anybody. You go to the person first directly and hear what the person will have to say before you turn it to, tell another. It's wrong. So if somebody has something against you or has some against somebody and you go and be saying it all about, the first person to know is the person who has anything against you. Praise the Lord. I think we are going to stop from here. Then we start from next week. Anybody who has contribution, question? Talking about the church. We are the church. We have been called. We have been separated. We have been called to the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ to represent Him here on earth. That is why it says greater work that we do. We're going to do greater work in healing, evangelism. Praise the Lord. I think the pastor will want to talk about the Acts 15:13-18:1.
Basically, if you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 35, which is a verse I love so much, the Bible says, whoever does righteousness is righteous. In the same vein, in Acts chapter 10, verse 35, the Bible says, any man in any land of whatever description that fears the Lord and does righteousness is acceptable unto the Lord. So the people that are made up of, that are meant to be members of the church or people who are the church, are the people who fear God. They are the people who reference Him. They are the people who live according to, the word of God. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do my commandments. In other words, we are not his friends if we don't do his commandment. As much as we would like to make people believe that we are his friends, Jesus says we are not his friends except we do his commandments. So, in Acts 15, verse 13 to 18, the apostles were for the first time being exposed to the greater plan of God for mankind. Although if you go back to the Old Testament and read, you will notice that there have been prophecies starting from Abraham, because the Bible says through Abraham the whole of the earth shall be blessed. So it was not, most people misunderstood it. In the days before Christ came, to mean that it was just the Jews that were going to be blessed through the covenant that God had with Abraham. So by the time the apostles came, God was beginning to unfold his plans and to show them that his plan is a universal plan, and that anyone, and that is why the name of this church has universal there, anyone and everyone who will serve the Lord, they are the church of God. That's why it's Christ Redemption Assembly Universal. Anyone of any description who genuinely want to serve God, they are welcome. That is the church of God. So it is not up to us to say this one belongs to the church because they are from this area, they are from that area. No, everyone who will do, it's in the doing. And God will give us the grace to do in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I remember, as we saw in the introduction, the church is beginning, the church is working so hard so that people cannot make a difference between us and the people who are not in the church. We want to dress like them, we want to speak like them, we want to behave like them. In fact, when we, when there are certain things that we cannot openly do, we try to disguise it. You just need to go to some places. You think you are in a discotheque. The church is working hard just to be like the world. And the world should be working hard to be like us. God will give us the grace to be who He has called us to be in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you once again for your word this morning. Father, we ask, O Lord, that even as we heard the word, O Lord, Father, even as the word says in Romans 12:2, that we should not be conformed to this word. Father, we ask for more grace. We have been separated. Father, give us more grace so that we'll be able to separate ourselves unto you in Jesus' name. Father, enable us, O Lord, Father, in this wicked world, so that we'll be able to live a life that you have called us to live in Jesus' name. You have called us to represent you here on earth, O Lord. Father, we ask for more grace. We ask for enablement, O Lord. Enable us, O Lord, so that we'll be able to live a quality life in Jesus' name, that we lead to eternity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.